It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 104. I am your host, Adam Mangum. I am joined by my brother, Matt, to talk about the NIT and BYU's chances in said tournament. And quite frankly, Matt and I are probably a little too optimistic about those chances, but we're hopeful the Cougars can make it through a few rounds through the help of the Marriott Center. We also talk about the NCAA tournament and give you our final four picks. We then jump to spring football and talk a little bit about the QB situation and the potential broadcasting of the spring football game. We finish with a discussion of our favorite movie trilogies of all time, which we do through a movie trilogy draft. And as usual, I destroy Matthew in the drafts. But anyway, this is the Rise of Shout podcast. You can read more about us at vanquishthefoe.com. You can always download us on iTunes. Of course, you're going to listen to about an hour of this right now. All right, Rise and Shout podcast, episode 100 and something. Three? Is it 103?
Who even knows anymore? I mean,
when you've recorded as many as we have, you lose track.
Well, I lose track of things easily anyway. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade here.
Spade. I'm calling you a spade. I don't know what that
really
means, but
I never really understood that expression.
I don't know. Why isn't it calling a diamond a diamond or a heart a heart?
And is it spade because of the suit and cards? Or is it spade for another reason? I don't know.
I don't know. I bet you Wikipedia would tell you this, but I don't even care enough to type that into Google.
No, it's already, we've already given it as much more time than it deserves. Wow.
That's true. That's true. So, Matt, there's only one question resting on all of our listeners' lips. One question they want us to answer. Okay? Are you ready?
Wow. I am unprepared.
Who will win the World Baseball Classic? Matt, who you got?
I got the Netherlands.
You got the Netherlands. Well, they're winning right now. We are recording this on Monday evening in the bottom of the first, the Kingdom of the Netherlands. They are a kingdom, which, by the way, I think I want to move to the Netherlands now because I want to live in a kingdom.
Who doesn't, really?
I don't know. But the Kingdom of the Netherlands is beating La República Dominicana 1-0. Whoever wins this game will face Puerto Rico, tomorrow night, Tuesday evening, in the finals of the World Baseball Classic, airing on the MLB Network, if you have such a channel. I love the World Baseball Classic, Matt. I think it's awesome, and I know that people mock it, and even some baseball fans don't like it, and I think they're stupid. It's awesome.
It's okay.
You're stupid.
I think it's going to be better in the future. I think it's going to pick up some steam. I'm just picking the Netherlands because of the shark, Roger Bernardino.
Well, they also have Xander Bogaerts, who's a prospect of my Boston Red Sox. And then Drelton Simmons, shortstop for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, the Barbs. Yeah, love the Barbs.
The Barbs. I know how much you love the Braves. But he is quite good. And anyway, I am picking La República Dominicana. Powerful lineup. Though I have to say Puerto Rico was very impressive in beating Japan last night. Very impressive. Yadier Molina basically runs the game. Like, he tells the pitchers, you're going to pitch now. And you're going to call, I'm calling this pitch. They don't ever shake him off. The announcers are saying he hasn't been, not a single pitcher has shaken him off in the entire tournament. Yes, Mr. Molina. Yes, Mr. Molina. Where is your brother, Mr. Molina? You know? So anyway, we'll move off from the World Baseball Classic, Matt, and we're going to move on to what most of our listeners actually tuned in here, which is pretty lackluster analysis of BYU's chances in the NIT. Which, actually, maybe we should go back to the World Baseball Classic. So let's look at the World Baseball Classic, the NIT. So BYU gets into the NIT. If you go to VanquishTheFoe.com, which, by the way, you should go to VanquishTheFoe.com, which is always has awesome stuff on it. But post-Jimmer, our friend Steve Pierce, shouldn't call him a friend. I've never even met the guy, but he's, I don't know. He's a Twitter friend. I like him. He's got a piece up about the NIT, and, you know, part of what he talks about, Matt, is, and we'll start with this before we get into BYU's chances, is that the NIT actually, you know, makes their decisions based a little bit on money, probably a lot on money, and talks a little bit about that. So, Matt, are you okay with the NIT doing that? Or are you like a lot of people on Twitter who were talking about, and not BYU fans necessarily, but others I saw on Twitter who were commenting about how unfair the selection process is of the NIT?
They can do whatever they want. They can invite whoever they want for whatever reason they want. It's an invitational tournament.
Yeah.
It's a giant consolation round.
Well, think of it this way. How many teams get into the NCAA now? Like 67?
68.
Eight, is it now?
60, yeah.
Whatever it is, it's a lot of teams, okay? So you're putting together a turn. With the exception of, say, a Virginia and a couple of the other teams, Iowa maybe, and a few others that are in this tournament. Kentucky, though, I don't think they deserve to go to the tournament. These are all teams with a couple of exceptions that have no business, did not earn their way into the Big Dance, clearly, right?
Right.
BYU among them, and our opponent, Washington. Neither team deserved to be in the NCAA tournament, okay? So put that all together, and this is basically a group, private group getting together trying to make money. So make us a home game in the first round, even if theoretically we don't deserve it. But if you look at the RPI or the Pomeroy rankings, we deserved, we're seated about right. So I sometimes I see all this angst on Twitter about the NIT or even the CBI or whatever that other one is called. I'm like, are you kidding me? Your team had like a losing record or, you know, was barely 500. So I wouldn't be getting too caught up about the fact that they didn't get into the NIT.
Yeah.
As Purdue fans, you know, we had a team with a losing record who I think was actually probably a few wins better than that record. But unfortunately, it doesn't really matter, and it wouldn't have mattered in the big scheme of things anyway.
Well, but the Big Ten this year was ridiculous.
The Big Ten was awesome. Not only were they awesome, they were – I mean, if you look at, say, I'll just pick Pomeroy's rankings, okay? You can pick RPI, you can pick something else. In the Big Ten, they're in the top 11, they have six teams. And that does not include Minnesota, who's at 23. At 23. So that's seven teams in the top 23. Like, nobody else has that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get to the tournament here in a minute. So let's, Matt, go through the at least BYU's portion of the bracket, okay? Uh-huh. Why did I want the NIT bracket? Where's the NIT bracket? You know where you can find the NIT bracket, Matt?
I bet it's available on VanquishTheFoe.com.
Sorry, I asked you a question, and then I answered it. That's quite rude.
You do that a lot.
Actually, I do. I'm sorry. Okay, so home team BYU 2011 against a 18 and 15 out of the pack, whatever they are, Washington. Matt, who you got?
Are you ready for this? I got BYU in this game.
Yeah, as you should. We're favored by like 5 points.
But I do think that there are some trouble spots for BYU here that they're really going to have to watch in order to pull out the win. But, I mean, it is a home game, which works to their advantage, obviously, getting to play at the Marriott Center. And I think they're a slightly better team. But this is by no stretch an unwinnable game for Washington.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, this is – I will not be shocked to see Washington win this game.
No. And you shouldn't be shocked, certainly, if Washington won this game. We're 5-point favorites, according to Vegas, as we talked about last podcast, which seems like so short time ago, which it was because it was Thursday night. BYU was bad in its last few games. You know, they did not close the season out well. But the thing is, neither did Washington. So, you know, if you look at their second half of their conference schedule, they were pretty terrible as well. And, you know, they had, you know, win in the tournament against Washington State and then lost to Oregon in overtime. So, you know, maybe in some ways they have maybe a little bit more momentum than BYU, but I mean, we're kind of splitting hairs, on that. I think BYU wins as well, and I think the Marriott Center and the student population is a big reason for that. I think.
Yeah.
So we agree there. Then who do we think they're playing in the second round?
Let me go back to that page here.
And it's either Tennessee or Mercer.
Yeah, I got Tennessee here.
Got Tennessee. I have Tennessee as well. And who do you have winning between BYU and Tennessee?
Well, my understanding is that this game also becomes a home game for BYU because the court in Knoxville is being used for the women's NCAA tournament.
I believe that is correct.
So I believe BYU wins this game.
I believe that as well.
Only because it's home. If they had to play this game on the road, I think they would struggle.
I agree with you on both accounts. I think BYU wins this game because it's a home game. I think they're two fairly evenly matched teams. I don't think, you know, Tennessee is if, depending on which ranking you look at, is definitely rated higher than BYU. But like in Pomeroy's, it's Tennessee's 67th and BYU's 71st. You know what I mean? They're close. So give BYU the edge. Now, I know a lot of listeners are probably, oh, man, BYU looked terrible going into the end of the season, and that's true. But most of these teams look terrible.
All of these teams.
The season. You know what I mean? This is these are not the hot teams. With a couple of possible exceptions, who just got squeezed out because maybe they were terrible at the beginning of the year. Most of these teams came in with a pretty lousy finish. So they will face in the quarterfinals if they make it that far. Either Southern Miss, Charleston Southern, Florida State, or Louisiana Tech. Out of those four teams, who do you think BYU's most likely opponent is in the quarterfinals?
Unfortunately, I think it's Florida State.
Oh, I was going to go with the number one seed, Southern Miss.
I think Florida State defeats Southern Miss in an upset.
Have we played Florida State before this year?
Yes, we have.
I think we might have played them, and I think they might have beat us.
Yes, they did, by 18 points.
Now, in that case, who hosts the game? I don't even know. Like, the quarterfinals is still at people's places, right?
Yep.
So who hosts that game?
If I understand correctly, BYU hosts that game.
No matter who it is?
It's done off the – no. If it's BYU and Florida State.
Right. But if it's Southern Miss, they're traveling to Southern Miss.
That's my understanding.
Ooh. I think you're right. They have – it's weird things, right, because of the stadium availability and other things that you wouldn't think factor in but right. just happen to factor in. Like you said about the Tennessee thing, they should host the game. But, you know, they don't go out and find a third site, right?
Right.
Because that would cost money. And this is a tournament trying to make money by, you know, using stadiums that are already – connected to the universities, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, yeah, so both of us have them getting to the quarterfinals. Do we have them winning the quarterfinals, Matt?
I have them losing to Florida State in the quarterfinals.
I have them losing to Southern Miss in the quarterfinals. So, we both have them going down in the quarterfinals. Any prediction on who wins the entire tournament?
I have no idea. Kentucky.
Kentucky? Total bailout. Total cop out.
No, of course it is.
Total cop out.
Yeah, but you look at this list. I mean, this is not, I mean.
I'm going with Virginia.
Virginia, they're decent.
I'll go with Virginia.
Iowa, I think, is very good. I think Iowa could have a good run.
So we should do they do pick 'em on ESPN NIT brackets?
No, I don't think they do, but, you know, I think you can do it on CBS. Somebody does it somewhere, because I've seen it, I've seen people on Twitter talking about doing them.
Should we do one?
Listen, do you know how clueless I would be filling out this bracket?
Does it matter?
I have to pick a winner between UMass and Stony Brook.
You mean you haven't seen a lot of UMass and Stony Brook this year?
Hey, you know what's funny is I think I know people that went to both of those colleges, but I have no idea. UMass, I could, yeah, no, I haven't seen any UMass this year, I don't think.
I haven't seen any UMass this year.
I know I haven't seen any.
Go ahead.
I've not seen any Stony Brook. I've seen some Iowa.
Yeah, I have definitely not seen any Stony Brook. I have seen Iowa as well.
I've seen Kentucky. I've seen Baylor. I know nothing about most of these teams. I mean, this would be, I'd be flying blind. I'd be like all those people that were in my, that I used to have in my office pools.
Yeah.
Be like, I just fill out the card. It's just for fun.
Yes, you would be just like that person. So,
actually, people usually end up doing pretty well. So maybe I've got good chances.
So far, I haven't found that game. If we find one, I'm starting a Rise and Shout group.
Yes.
And then I will send that, and I'll do that tonight or in the morning, and I will send the link out via Twitter. You can tweet at us, by the way, at @BYU_RiseShout, and you can tweet Matt at @Matt_Mangum and me at @AJMangum on Twitter as well. So that's that. That's the NIT. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We've talked a lot about what the strengths and weaknesses of the BYU team are, right? We know if they have a long run in this tournament, it's going to be on the back of Davies and Hawes with a little bit of Carlino mixed in, right?
Yep.
So we're not going to harp on that. So let's move over to the tournament that non-BYU fans and probably most BYU fans are much more interested in, which is the Big Dance. The only thing I want to talk about as far as snubs, because I don't really care about snubs usually, unless it's your team, it's like, well, you didn't play well enough to make it so that they didn't have an argument to not bring you in, right?
Right.
The one that kind of irked me a little bit was that St. Mary's has a play-in game.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right to me.
I think they are a 9 or 10 seed, which would keep them away from the play-in games. And quite frankly, I hate the 11 seed play-in games. To me, I just it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to make an 11 seed do a play-in game. I know they want to, you know, expand the tournament, which I'm also against. I mean, 64 teams is enough for me. In some ways, it may be even too many.
You have to stop it somewhere, and wherever you
apparently
draw the
they
line,
they don't want to.
But wherever you draw the line, people are going to complain. Even now, people
absolutely
complain. Well, we were the last four out. We're better than this team. We're better than that. You're always going to have it. There's no way to fix it. Expanding the field doesn't fix it. This 11 seed, I think that the 11 seed play-in is a travesty.
See, I'm okay with the 16 seed play-in games where you've got some of these tiny conference champions who, quite frankly, I'd be okay if some of these conferences didn't get an automatic bid. I know I'm probably in the minority. Oh, they're the Cinderella. They're not the Cinderellas. They're the 16th seeds, and they get the crap kicked out of them every year, with very, very few exceptions. Do they even get within 15 points of these opponents? So, to me, I guess it's fine. It's like a bye for these top seeds, but I'm with you. I don't like the 11 seed play-in games. But I think St. Mary's is going to beat Middle Tennessee, and I think they got a pretty good shot at beating Memphis.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think St. Mary's, they're the type of team that if they got beat by 15 by Memphis, would I be shocked? No. If they beat Memphis, would I be shocked? Absolutely not. They have enough talent on that roster, and they're coached well enough that I think they could make a run. And quite frankly, they shouldn't be an 11th seed. Memphis should not. If I were Memphis, I'd be luckily, they have to play another game, which makes it a little more difficult. But if I were Memphis, I'm not happy with that draw. You know, I would much rather have, and quite frankly, a couple of the 11 seeds are problematic. Minnesota over in the South.
Yep.
I would much rather have Bucknell, nothing against them, or who's the other 11 seed? Belmont. Yeah, I'd much rather have those guys than St. Mary's. So, yeah, that's just me. So, Matt, let's talk our brackets. We're not going to go through every game in the tournament, though we could. And let's just talk our final four.
All right.
So let's start with the Midwest. Who do you got?
Hold on, this thing's going all crazy on me.
Bracket's going all crazy on me.
It's lost its mind. Why don't you go ahead with
the Midwest? All right, I'll start with the Midwest. I have Louisville very unimaginatively coming out of that bracket with Duke as the team that they beat to get into the Final Four.
Wow. That is unimaginative.
Oh yeah, that side of the bracket, I do have some upsets in that side of the bracket. I have Oregon over Oklahoma State as a 12 seed. I have, then I have St. Louis going, you know, which isn't really an upset. They are a 4 seed getting to the Elite Eight, but they're certainly not a school you would. Yeah, in that one, I have the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed making it to the Sweet 16. So very unimaginative. I get more imaginative in the other brackets.
You know, I also have the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds at that point.
Yes.
But I have, after that, I have Louisville eventually losing to Michigan State.
Ooh, nice.
Who makes a run into the Final Four.
You're just too wrapped up in the Big Ten right now.
I'm probably a little tainted. I've watched a lot of Big Ten basketball this year compared to other conferences. That's absolutely true.
And they're good conferences this year, so it was a good year to do it.
There was some good basketball to be watched.
Yes, there was some good basketball to be watched. There's no doubt of that. So Matt, let's move to the West, who the teams that will face them there. I have Gonzaga coming out, also another number one seed, beating number three seed New Mexico.
Look at you.
Matt?
I've got Gonzaga beating Ohio State to make it into the Final Four.
Yeah, look at you in the...
So I had the ones and twos. I had very little upsets in this section of my bracket.
See, I had Iowa State playing, beating Ohio State.
Really?
32. I'm not a big fan of Ohio State, and both in terms of I just don't like them, but also having watched them play, that's a team that can get beat by themselves. Like, they beat themselves sometimes. So, I wouldn't put a lot of money on the deep tourney run for the Buckeyes.
I feel like their most problematic matchup is probably going to be New Mexico.
Yes, I would agree. If they make it to New Mexico, I would pick New Mexico to win that game.
I waffle back and forth, but I have them playing New Mexico and eventually. But I'm still a work in progress. I think my Final Four is nailed down, but that one I could switch.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, so now the South. I have Michigan, 4 seed Michigan, beating 7 seed San Diego State in order to get in the Final Four. So that's my region where I have chaos. Chaos reigns in the South. Matt?
Wow. I have 1 seed Kansas beating 2 seed Georgetown to make it into the Final Four.
That is not where you have chaos reigning.
No. Very, very little chaos.
I have the Aztecs taking down Georgetown in the round of 32 and then beating 3rd seed Florida. Just not enough gas to get all the way to the Final Four.
Wow, a lot of faith in the Aztecs for he who hates.
It pains me to pick them. I just think they're good. You know, I think they could make a run. Obviously, I'm picking them to get to the Elite Eight. So obviously, I think they can make a run.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move to the East. I have Miami thankfully beating the Hoosiers to get to the Final Four.
Look at that. See, I have the Hoosiers falling one round earlier to Syracuse.
Oh, good.
Who then loses to Miami.
I like that.
And Miami goes to the Final Four.
I like that even better. I am changing my pick. I just changed it in ESPN.com. It's now Syracuse beating Indiana. Purely emotional. I almost
picked NC State to beat Indiana.
So there's this guy at work that is an IU fan. He's in our finance department. And he has been ribbing me about how poor Purdue is all season. Just merciless. Every time he sees me in the hall, how's Purdue doing? And it's just like, yeah, that's great. How's your football team again? Terrible. You know, he's been doing that or whatever. And then, so Wisconsin beats them, right? Mm-hmm. And so I see him today, and I said, oh, man, that's just terrible about Wisconsin beating you guys, huh? Didn't cost you a number one seed, but, man, that's terrible going into the tournament, you know. And he's like, you know who's insufferable? Wisconsin fans. I mean, they win one game, and it's not one game. What if they beat them, like, 9 times in a row or something, or 9 out of 10?
Right.
They win one game, and they're insufferable. I'm like, Wisconsin fans are the nicest fans in the Big Ten. They are not insufferable. Insufferable is IU fans this entire season.
All the time.
Or all the time. But even worse this season, wouldn't you say?
I mean, yes.
When I was around at Purdue, their basketball program was kind of down, and so was Purdue's at the time. But now that they're back at the top, and Crean, oh, man. Oh, I don't like him. You win a game against a rival in the tournament, and you start screaming an assistant coach? Who does that?
Crazy people do that, Adam. Crazy people.
He's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird. I hope they lose early. I would love to see them go down to that winner of the 16 seed play-in game.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, dude, I will find this coworker of mine that next morning.
You know, you have to wait a couple of days because you're going to need to get a T-shirt shipped in of whatever school wins that game.
Yeah. All right. So in the Final Four, you have Louisville and Gonzaga meeting, right?
No, I've got Michigan State and Gonzaga.
Michigan State, sorry. Michigan State and Gonzaga. Who do you have in the finals?
I think Michigan State takes it.
Oh, you got Michigan State.
I got them beating Gonzaga.
Three seed going to the finals. And then I have Louisville beating Gonzaga to go to the finals. And then on the other side, you had
Kansas and Miami.
Kansas and Miami. Who you got?
Miami.
I also have Miami.
Beating
Michigan. And then so you have a Michigan State-Miami final. I have a Louisville-Miami final. And who you got?
Miami.
Wow. I am waffling. And I have so far picked Louisville, so for the purpose of this podcast, I'm going to say Louisville.
Yeah, I think Miami's a really good team. They've looked good. They've got good chemistry. I think they're going to make a run.
You think they're going to make a run, huh?
I think they're going to bring it home.
All right.
Besides, they got Barry Larkin's kid on their team. I mean, can you really go long? Can you really go wrong?
Sure, I don't know. Can you go wrong? I love Barry Larkin. He was awesome. A very underrated guy.
Yep.
Very underrated guy. So, okay. All right, so that's our predictions. That's our bold predictions, NCAA predictions.
Bold indeed.
All right, so let's move back to BYU now. Football. Yep. It's spring football time right now.
Yes.
So you may recall this, that months ago, when the season ended, we had Robbie Bulla of BYU TV on the podcast. And he and also Brandon Gurney, somewhat later, a month or two ago, was on the podcast. And I asked them both a question about who the quarterback would be next year. And I was a little surprised by both of their answers. Robbie was very adamant that they did not have a quarterback for next year, despite the fact that Taysom Hill had played. That he had been there, that they would give Ammon Olsen and some of these other guys a shot to compete. And then when I asked Brandon that question, he mentioned kind of similar thing, wasn't quite as strong, but he also said to keep an eye out for Munns, that he might surprise people. And the other part was the health of Taysom Hill, which nobody knew at that point, if he would even be back and doing that. So I put that all into say all of that because Jay Drew, friend of the podcast Jay Drew, published a story several days ago, I think it was on Friday, last Friday, basically saying that Taysom Hill's the guy. He's been taking half of the reps, if not more of them, he says, while Munns, Christian Stewart, Hammond Olsen, and then freshman Billy Green and Tanner Mangum, who we don't expect either of them to be really involved. Tanner's going on a mission. He's been getting over 50% of the snaps. Doesn't this mean he's the quarterback next year? Whether they say it or not, isn't that what that means?
It means that as of right now, yeah.
Yeah. So are you at this point just banking Taysom Hill is the 2013 starting quarterback when this season opens?
I believe that he is.
And
you know, one thing that'll hurt Munns is this concussion he suffered last week is going to make it difficult for him to really make a showing here in this practice. I think it legitimately he had a shot to maybe do something, but I think from what I've seen and read, it looks to me like Hill's knee is fine.
Yeah, that's the amazing part, right? A lot of people would say, well, we won't know, because a lot of people said we won't know in spring ball because Hill won't be healthy. So other people are going to get the snaps, and then all of a sudden, Hill's healthy. You know? So do you look at this as a good thing or a bad thing? I know some people on Twitter and Cougar Board have said things like, well, why are they giving him the job? He was very gutsy. He played pretty well in his limited time, but it's not as if he was like, wow, you know, as a runner he was, but as a passer, he was a little mediocre. What's your take on that? Do you think if the coaches think he's the best guy, go for it? Or do you think, does this make you cringe that, oh, this is like Nelson, you know, they're just giving him the job because he was gutsy?
No, I think they're making a legitimate evaluation of the abilities of the quarterbacks they have on the roster and then choosing the person they think is the best. I think they're also trying to make that choice early and try and move into giving somebody the starter reps sooner than they have in years past. And so you, at some point, you've just got to make a decision. And if you've been looking at the tape and you've been watching these guys for a couple of years, you know, you get to a point where you got to make a call. And he was clearly, I think he was, you know, the absolute number two guy last year, obviously, up until the knee injury. And so, obviously, they've seen something over time that they like in Taysom Hill. And if his knee's fine, I think he's the one you go with. But, hey, I think any comparison to what happened with Riley Nelson, I think, is completely out of context. Because Riley Nelson, that whole situation was about his story and his desire to be at BYU and the grit and all this. I don't think this is the same thing.
Well,
I don't think that picking Hill as the starting quarterback at this point in the process is not comparable to what happened with Riley Nelson.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they're connected at all. And quite frankly, I know everyone likes to, in retrospect, look back and say what a terrible decision it was to start Riley Nelson last year. What was the alternative last year?
Play somebody who didn't have a broken back? Or are you talking about at the beginning of the
season? At the beginning of the year, before he got hurt. Because people now like to rewrite history, wow, what a terrible decision to start him at all. You know, yeah, I think we can all agree that playing him hurt was a bad idea. Okay, but was it really that bad of an idea? You and I were fine with it at the beginning of last season. We were not calling in the podcast for Hill or Olsen or Munns or whomever to be playing last year. We thought Riley's the guy. He's got a year under his belt, more than that actually, but you know, he's got time under his belt. Yeah, he's limited, but we can live with that, and that way you'd get, you know, some of these other guys can get ready and prepared to compete for this job the next year. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think it's a similar situation at all, but even if it is, I don't know what other decision they were supposed to make last spring. Honestly, I just don't know that there's, that it would have been a different, that I would have made a different decision, you know. In hindsight, yeah, 2020, but.
Well, at the time, there sure were a lot of people on board.
Yes, there were a lot of people.
But given what we know now, you got to wonder what they saw from Lark that made him so clearly not competitive for that starting spot?
I'll tell you, he sat there for 4 years. I mean, if they thought he was the guy, there were ample opportunities for him to be the guy. Nelson got hurt, and they didn't even put him in. You know what I mean? They never, I never got the impression that they saw Lark as, this is a guy that could really start for BYU. Not after a couple years being in the program. Which I'm not saying was the right or wrong call. We don't have enough data personally.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Is I would like to know what the data was, what they saw that led to that conclusion for them.
Yeah.
Because we'll never know. And that's going to be a conversation that I think BYU football fans are going to have for years to come.
Yes.
Is, you know, A, why didn't he go in when Nelson was hurt? And then secondary to that is, why wasn't he starting from the beginning?
Yeah.
And you've got this little tiny sample of game data to use on him that blows the whole thing out of context. But is it part of the conversation?
Yeah. And I don't know. But in the end, it looks like Taysom Hill will be the starter against Virginia, barring injury or something, or maybe he's just terrible the rest of the spring and in the fall camp, you know. Barring something like that, it looks like he'll be the guy, and Munns will be another guy like Lark and a lot of other people before them, current QB coach Jason Beck among them, who just never really got a shot despite being well thought of, brought into the program. They just, for whatever reason, Munns may be adding himself to that list. So, Matt, we have a tweet bag question from Justin D. Sweeney about spring football, and then we've got another question from him that we're going to address here in a minute. But let's start with the spring football. He sent a tweet to BYU TV, I think. Let me pull up the tweet. Yes, to BYU TV Sports and Tom Homo, basically saying, you know, 11 2013 college football spring games are set to be broadcast on ESPN3. And links to the list, and he's like, make it happen, you know. He wants to see that game. Like probably many of us that do not live close enough to attend the game. Of course, they responded to it saying the sports program, they're not ready to do that. What's your take on this? Is there any chance that with Bronco Mendenhall running the program that they ever broadcast this game on TV?
No.
Do you think he would rather have nobody come, right?
He would rather not even do it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, for him, this has become, and maybe it's as a result of some of his early experiences as the head coach, but the spring has become an exercise in avoiding injuries. You know, when he talks about when they brought practice outside as opposed to being inside, what he talks about are the two knee injuries they had playing on the turf inside.
Yeah.
And, we've seen this happen a couple times where, especially with the offensive line and some other positions, just get completely decimated with injuries during spring practice. So for him, it's how much can we get done and not walk out of here, you know, with the walking wounded. So I don't think, you know, and for a couple of years, they weren't even really doing a spring game. It was a glorified practice, really.
Well, and he has, quite frankly, he may do that again.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that? Wasn't that just last year that he did that?
I think they
did
that.
Was it 2 years ago? It was last year.
I think it was both years.
It might be. You know, the BYU, I remember as a little kid going to the spring football game. It was a football game. You know what I mean? I mean, they were trying hard. I mean, maybe not at the same speed and intensity as a regular season game. If you do watch some of those that Justin points out, how many of them will be broadcast? Many of them are like that. They go hard. And I don't know, quite frankly, what the right call is. I would like to see, selfishly as a fan, like to see it so that I can get an idea. Like, we're hearing all these things about Adam Hine. We talked a little bit about him last podcast. I would like to see him. You know, we've hardly seen him. He got hurt, right, last year. I would love to see if this is just coach speak where they're trying to build this guy up or if he's really as impressive as the coaches and some of the guys covering the team are saying he looks like. So But are we gonna see this? No. We're not gonna see it on TV this year or maybe ever. But if we lived in Utah, chances we would be at that game.
100%.
Yes, 100%. So we are not saying we are not interested in seeing it. We're just saying it's not likely to be shown on TV. So last week, Matt, we had an awesome tweetback question from Drewski5 on Twitter. That's at Drewski5, Drew Troutner, about our favorite Bond movies. Okay? You shocked the world by basically admitting that you had seen like two Bond movies. Maybe just one.
I believe it was zero, part of one or two.
Okay.
I realized afterwards I have some memory of watching Pierce Brosnan get like on a skateboard or something and go through an oil pipeline down a hill.
That was the best Bond movie.
That's the only scene I saw. I think these are things I've seen on TV while changing channels. I've never watched an entire Bond film, I don't think.
So Drew gave some advice.
Great advice.
Via Twitter. Start with Goldfinger, which I had kind of said last week, and then said watch all three of the most recent Daniel Craig movies. I have not seen Quantum of Solace, the middle one of the three Daniel Craigs. Loved Casino Royale. Loved Skyfall, which I think may be the best one of all of the 23. Having not seen all of the 23, I think I'm at 19 or 20. But I missed Quantum of Solace, quite frankly, because a lot of people who were also Bond fans told me it was terrible. But I think I'm going to go back and watch it, because Kathleen, my wife, and I watched Skyfall. That was her first ever Bond movie, and she really liked it. So I'm thinking of taking her back and watching some more. We'll definitely watch Goldfinger, but we'll do that. So we'll update. Matt, when you've watched Goldfinger, you let us know. Probably it'll be 8 months from now, but you let us know what you thought about it.
I will.
So on the movie theme, because we talk about movies, and there will be no BYU discussion from here on out in the podcast.
You're just being fair.
I'm being fair. If you're like, oh, my gosh, please stop talking about baseball and movies, press pause, you know, minimize the window. Whatever it is you do, stop listening now.
Yeah.
But for most of you who love our awesome discussions, we're going to answer a question, do it a little different. Justin Sweeney asked us another question. He said, picking back off of Drewski 5's movie theme, he asked us for the best trilogy. Well, we're going to one-up you, Justin Sweeney, which is hard to do because as we talked about his picture last time, he's got all those leather-bound books behind him. But we're going to one-up him anyway. We're going to do a movie trilogy draft, three rounds, and I get to go first this time because you went first in our last movie draft.
All right. That's only fair.
It's only fair. And this way I get my number one choice without you messing me up.
Like I don't think we're fighting for the number one choice.
Well, I had to make sure. So I am rigging it to me get the first pick instead of just like flipping a coin or something. So you're ready for our trilogy movie draft?
I am ready. I've got the war room ready here. I believe the second round is where we might start, is where I'm worried about some overlap.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
But so I think I know where you're going to go here in the first round, so I'm not nervous.
Anyone who knows me at all knows where we're going in the first round. So with the first pick in the Mangum movie trilogy draft, I take the Matrix trilogy. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Wow, I was like, I was way off.
Star Wars. I'm taking Star Wars. The original Star Wars trilogy. You know, the ones that came out and that everybody loved back in the 70s and 80s. The movies of my childhood. And I think the three most important movies in the history of the world.
Wow, that last part was a little over the top.
I actually believe that. So.
But not at all surprised. Not at all surprised that that is the trilogy you started out with.
And no further explanation is necessary. Matt, your first pick.
I don't think that my first pick is going to be a surprise to you either. My first pick is the Jason Bourne trilogy.
So I can cross it off my list.
Anytime any of those three movies are on TV, I immediately stop whatever I am doing and I have to watch the rest of them. The worst is when one of them shows up like on TNT where they'll play them back to back.
Oh, yes.
I have to watch it the second time at least up until when I started watching it before.
It drives my wife nuts. So I think we've told this story on the podcast before, but you saw the Firstborn movie before me.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yep.
And we were talking on the phone, and you said, we have to go see this movie tonight. And we went and saw it tonight. Had you seen it that day or the day before?
I think it was that day, because I think I saw it during the day.
I think it was that day. So we went back that evening and watched it, and then we went back. When it got to the Dollar Theater, we went several times, and I know you also went without me, and I went without you.
I've seen that movie about 4,000 times.
Yeah, I've seen that movie a lot. And the thing is, I know a lot of people kind of bag on the third one. I like all three of them. The first one I think is the best, which is, you know, is typical. But to me, the other ones, the fact that they, and spoiler alert, if you have not seen that, but the fact that they killed the girlfriend in like the first 10 minutes of the second one.
Oh my gosh.
After she survived, it's awesome. That trilogy is awesome. All right. So we're doing snake draft style. You get the first pick of the second round.
First pick of the second round. With the first pick of the second round. Hold on one second. You didn't actually take the Matrix, did you?
No, you were just kidding. I did not take the Matrix.
I toyed with the Matrix, but I – hold on one second.
So did the Wojciechowski brothers.
Oh! It was on my list, though. Hold on. This is really embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh. Did you even prep for this draft at all? I gave you, like, 90 seconds forewarning.
I started with that list on Wikipedia. It's got, like, 4,000 trilogies in it.
Yeah, okay? I will put this in the on VegasTheFoe.com, there is a Wikipedia page of every movie trilogy ever. It's like 900 long. It's
insane.
An incredible list.
It's very difficult to navigate.
That is not the list to start off to put together your group.
No, it is absolutely not. And so, anyway, so with my pick, my second pick, I'm going to go with Christopher Nolan's Batman series.
Oh, taking one off my board. Actually, two off my board, but I knew you were going with the Bourne trilogy.
Absolutely. There was no question there, right?
The Dark Knight trilogy.
I waffle a little bit back and forth with whether or not to take this now, but I think I had to, or else you were going to.
Yes, it would not have survived to your final pick in the third round.
Now, for me, much like the Bourne series, anytime any of these are on, I end up watching them.
So do you have, and there has been much debate among our brothers, do you have a favorite of the trilogy? I have a clear favorite to me. I'm not saying it's not close, but it's a clear favorite to me.
Batman Begins.
Nolan's telling of the Batman origin story. Origin story should be boring, right? We know them, right? His parents got killed. No spoiler alert needed. You know what I mean? It should be boring, yet it was extremely compelling. You know, like when they – I don't know if you've seen The Amazing Spider-Man, the newer Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. Good movie. Worth seeing. But they tell the origin, right? It's fine. But, I mean, he gets bit by a radioactive spider. He lives with his aunt and uncle. His uncle gets killed. And you know what I mean? It's like, let's move on and do something else. That is not how you feel about Batman Begins. Phenomenally well done. I like the other two. Don't. But to me, it goes 1, 2, 3 in that order. You? A lot of people love the second one. Love themselves a little Joker, Heath Ledger.
The second one was amazing.
Magic tricks. People love the magic tricks.
For me, this is very, very close. But I
want to see a pencil disappear, Matt. Want to see a pencil this?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. If I were to rank them, I'd probably go 1, 3, 2. I really enjoyed the last one. I felt like it was the way the storytelling and the development of the characters
came together. You like the first one the most?
I think so.
And then you like the Wow, you are definitely out of whack with most of the people.
But I'll tell you what, but it's very, very close for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're splitting hairs, really.
Yeah.
All right.
All three of these are great. And what I like about at least both of my picks is I could sit down and watch all three of these movies consecutively straight through with no breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoy every minute of it.
I agree with all of the series we've talked about so far, and that leads into my second round pick.
What do you have?
Which I have done this with this series of movies, which is the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, no.
When the third one came out, I watched the first one, extended edition, the second one, extended edition, and this was with a friend of mine, and then we went to the third one in the theater with our wives that night. So you speak of that, and I'm telling you, I've done it. So that's my
thing. Those are not short movies to do that with. And the reason I say, oh no, there is that was my third pick.
I'm sure it was your third pick, and I'm about to make my third pick, which might steal your other third pick. We'll see. I debated this one. If you look at my board, it's very tight, but I had to pick a series in which there was no weak movie. Right? It has to be a trilogy, like you said, that you want to watch all three movies. You don't want to watch just one of them. Or two of them. Okay? So with that preference, I'm going to pick the Back to the Future trilogy with my third round pick.
Oh, man, you're killing me.
Sorry. I was very close with another one, which I won't mention yet, but I will after you've made your pick. But unfortunately, it has a movie that is just not up to snuff with the other two. And then there was another one where it's just I wouldn't watch it, so I couldn't put it like I would these other two. All right, your third and final pick, Matt.
Oh, my third and final pick. So you really put me in a pickle now.
Yes.
You've taken everything I had left on the board. So now I'm really just reaching. But the series I've decided on here, I do take a little bit of heat for how much I enjoy these films. Most people feel like by the time they especially got to the third film in this series, it really got weak, repetitive or old or whatever. But I enjoy all three of these films.
And
I'm going to go with the Ocean's Trilogy. Starting with Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, and Ocean's 13.
I'm with you.
I really enjoy these movies. I could watch any of the three of them. They're fun. I feel like they're well done. I enjoy them.
Excellent. Excellent choice. I also enjoy them. I do think it did kind of, I mean, Ocean's 11, I love Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11 is great.
Ocean's 12, I liked Ocean's 12. I think 13 got a little long in the tooth, but I don't think it's as some people just like talk like it's the worst movie ever.
People hate it.
I don't understand the hatred of it. It's not one that if I was flipping past I would stop, but I would stop on Ocean's 11 or Ocean 12. Easy. I would definitely it holds the TNT stopping power, if you will. So the two series that I was considering on my list, Matt, Indiana Jones.
Yep, excellent.
The Temple of Doom, I would never stop and watch Temple of Doom. What's Your Face is so terrible.
Is that what it is? Is that the problem with Temple of Doom?
Part of it has a very different feel to the other two movies. You know, it's a little darker. I don't mind Short Round. Some people don't like him. I think he's fine. She's just – Kate Upshaw, that's her name. She's awful. Terrible, terrible in that movie. But I'll tell you what, if the first one is on or the third one comes on, and I own all of them, so this is kind of silly anyway, but I stop. There's no way I don't stop. The Indiana Jones, the first one is, but I couldn't put it above Back to the Future because one of the movies is kind of a weak link. And I love all three Back to the Future movies. And some people don't care for the third one with the Wild West theme, but I think it's awesome. The other one was Toy Story.
See, I thought about Toy Story. Toy Story was pretty good.
I love all three of those movies, but honestly, the third one, I don't like the first one and the second one. I could watch 100 times with kids. I have seen the third one a couple of times, and it's really good, but it just didn't quite make it to my list. Now, movies that also did not make it to my list that definitely shouldn't have is the Scream trilogy, which I saw on some lists. Really? You're killing me here, people. And
That was a lot of the same movie over and over again.
Well, it's just some guy with a mask killing people. And the Shrek trilogy, which I saw on some lists. I love the first Shrek movie. It goes way downhill really fast.
Yeah.
In those Shrek movies. So I wouldn't put that. And I did have the Spider-Man trilogy on my board.
Spider-Man trilogy. What about the first three, episodes 1 through 3 of Star Wars? Does that even get onto the radar for you?
It does.
You're more of a Star Wars guy than me, which is why I'm asking you the question.
A lot of people hate the trilogy, which the prequel trilogy, which is funny to me because it made like a gajillion dollars. So people are lying because they went to the third movie, right? Why would you go to the third movie if you hated the first two? You know what I mean? I guess you want to see Anakin turn into Darth Vader. I actually like those movies, and I think if they had come out unattached to Star Wars, people would really like them. Yeah, they've got plot problems and acting problems, and George Lucas couldn't write a love story to save his life, but I don't think they're terrible. I think, actually, they're quite good, and I think Ewan McGregor is awesome as Obi-Wan. I mean, give Lucas a lot of credit for that piece of casting, because those movies become unbearable, literally, if you have a terrible Obi-Wan Kenobi. Another movie where I love the first two movies, but the third one is terrible, and they also made more movies after that, is the Alien movies. Alien 3 is terrible. And then it gets even worse after that. But Alien and Aliens are awesome. Not that I've ever seen either of them. But if I had, Aliens might be one of my favorite movies of all time. Bill Paxton.
We're all dead, man.
We're all dead, man.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
Game over.
Awesome. Just fantastically awesome. But anyway, not good enough because there wasn't three strong movies. So
I think by the time we got to the third, they were really asking you to reach to close some holes between them, and
they killed off the girl without you even, like,
with zero explanation.
Yeah, just she shows up. Where's the girl? Oh, she died. Oh, okay. The whole movie of Aliens was keeping the girl alive, and then you can snatch. She's her and the other guy died in space.
Yeah, it was while you were asleep.
Yeah,
it was cool.
It's like that movie While You're Sleeping, but not like that at all. They're dead.
So it's like that, but with aliens and in space.
But aliens in space, and it's not a romantic comedy. Yeah, it was
that guy is president in Independence Day.
But all, isn't he president on a show right now? Isn't he on TV?
Yeah.
I love it because our dad absolutely hates Bill Paxton as president.
Which is just weird.
He just hates him as president. Just was like, he is not, can't be president. And I actually kind of agree with him. If you watch Independence Day, his Independence Day speech is terrible. Like, nobody would have cheered in real life.
Everyone would have been like, eh. Who did cheer? Is the really drunk crop duster pilot who ended up sticking it to the aliens in the end of that movie.
That's right, and Goldblum cheered when he somehow uploaded a virus off an Apple computer into a alien spacecraft.
I thought Apple computers didn't get viruses.
They don't, but apparently they load them to alien computers.
Well, that will be good to know when the aliens invade.
It will be good. Now we just need a solution for the zombie apocalypse. I know, I do have a solution for the zombie apocalypse. Show them Alien 3. That's your solution.
That will destroy all of their brains.
I don't know what it will do, but it'll stop them. It'll stop them. Anyway, well, Matt, this has been fun. This has been fun. I love these drafts. I hope our listeners love them and aren't all just all tuning out. But if they are, then that's fine too. That's fine too. So we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a successful NIT run for the Cougars and previewing the spring football game, which I don't know that we're going to preview much. We'll talk about it.
I think BYU is going to win.
I think BYU will win, and I think there will be touchdowns.
Yep.
So those are some bold predictions. You can count on that. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you as always for downloading and participating and tweeting at us. It's we love to hear from our listeners, and we will of course catch you next time.
Go Cougars.